Track 8, Diffusing Client Anger. On the last track, we discussed the technique of releasing emotional energy to relieve the pain of childhood sexual abuse. In this track, we will demonstrate the use of leaning into empathy and taking a one-down position to assist in building rapport in potentially volatile sessions with a sexually abused child or their parent. As you know, efforts to build rapport are oftentimes misinterpreted by parents or clients who have been coerced into attending therapy or who have had previously negative therapy experiences. Here is how I avoided and diffused potential escalation with Anita and her daughter Angel, age 13. Anita and Angel were referred to me after Angel told the school counselor that she had been sexually abused by her aunt's boyfriend, Stan. When she was 7, she was staying at her aunt's house for the weekend. As you are aware, especially in the case of childhood sexual abuse, any behavior that can be constructed as even slightly as blaming, criticizing, accusing, or disagreeing undermines the connecting process. Oftentimes, in these initial therapy sessions, I envision myself walking a tightrope. Do you? Here is how I walked this tightrope with Anita and her daughter Angel. I looked at her and stated, "What I'd like to do before we get started is get to know you a little better. It often helps us." Anita interrupted, groaning, "Oh, here we go again. Do you people not keep enough records? Wouldn't it be easier to just read the record instead of wasting time going through the whole history? Seriously, I don't mean to be facetious. It just seems to be a waste of time to go through the whole family history time after time." Taking a one-down position, I softly stated, "I wasn't referring to your history. I was actually referring to just getting to know you as a person." Anita, "Fair enough," responding sarcastically and clapping her hands. "You won't find much in me." Leaning into or towards Anita, I responded, "Sometimes it just makes it easier to talk." Anita's voice dropped slightly. "Again, I don't mean to be facetious. Don't get me wrong. I just don't really want to have to go through it again." Responding with empathy, I stated in a soft tone, "It sounds like you've really been through the mill with everything so far. Is that right?" Anita, "Yes." Taking a one-down position again, I stated, "Well, maybe we'll skip getting to know each other. Maybe you can tell me where you'd like to start." Anita, "I really can't say. I'm sorry. As much as I've already said that I don't really want to go through the whole family history again, I honestly couldn't say where I would want to start. I'm not the psychologist, so I don't really know what is actually relevant. So probably I was speaking out of place. But I really wanted you to know my feelings." Empathetically, I responded, "It sounds like you've been through this many times. How many times have you been through it?" Anita replied, "I've lost count, but it's been all of Angel's life, the whole 13 years. I think the problems have varied, but they've been basically the same." While maintaining eye contact, I empathetically ask, "What I would like to try and understand is why the help that has been offered you hasn't helped you so far. What has been your experience in trying to get help?" Anita replied, "Because we've been to so many people who have told us so many conflicting things, I'm going to have to go through it, I know. You ask me why it hasn't helped, and I don't know. All I know is that I just feel like I've been alone. I haven't had a supportive family to start off with. Quite apart from that, I've just been totally confused as to how many so-called professionals giving us their opinion from everything from food allergies to dyslexia." While maintaining eye contact and open position, I sought clarification. "Of the people that you've seen, have they been primarily supportive or unsupportive?" Anita paused, then stated, "That's a difficult one to say. I think that my opinion would have to be that they were doing their job." Empathetically, I stated, "Did any of them seem to care about you as a person?" Anita answered, "I was just another number." Seeking clarification, I ask Angel, Angel, who do you think out of everybody that your family has seen, who do you think has been the most supportive? Do you know what I mean by supportive? Angel answered, Dr. M, I think, but he's hard to work out. He doesn't show what he's thinking. I ask, what do you think, Anita? Who in the rest of the world would be most supportive to you? Anita answered, me. Empathetically, I softly ask, is that right? Anita replied, yes, I always have done. And then her voice dropped and her eyes became tearful. Seeking clarification, I ask, when you say it has always been, does that mean just since you had Angel or in terms of your whole life? Anita asked, do I have to answer that? I emphatically responded, no. Angel inserted, at least make an attempt. I have to. Anita stated, okay, my whole life. But there's a lot Angel doesn't know. My use of empathy with Anita's perception of mistreatment at the hands of professionals lessened her negative stance enough to connect with me as their therapist. As you can see, the use of the basics in small steps, such as appearing warm, respectful, and responding empathetically, also helped avoid a negative escalation while offering a positive interaction to build on. This track has discussed and demonstrated the building rapport basics of leaning into, responding with empathy, taking a one-down position, as well as a quiet tone eye contact to assist you in building rapport in potentially volatile sessions. Why do you suppose I decided to include such basic skills in this CD track? I find when a client is volatile, I sometimes overlook the basics of my body language and voice tone. Think of the last volatile client you treated. Would it be a good idea to replay this track prior to your next session with that client to review some of these basics you may be overlooking? As you know, the volatile client is probably involved in transference. In the next track, we will look at transference as well as splitting. Question 8. What are 3 skills that de-escalate a volatile session?